Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Therefore, we carry around resentment. It comes from envy and resentment, and we get bitter. Let me tell you something about envy. That's the precursor of resentment, I think. Envy is nastier than covetousness. Covetousness, I come with empty hands and I say, I covet, I want that which you have. But envy is, I come with empty hands, I don't necessarily want what you have, I just don't want you to have it. And that leads to resentment and that leads to bitterness.
The truth is, you don't have to live with resentment in your heart. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Resentment, where he shows you how to let go of resentment and step into the freedom God wants for you. That message is coming up next on The Winning Walk. Before we jump into Dr. Young's message, there's an encouraging resource being offered this month that you may find especially helpful in these challenging times. It's Dr. Young's booklet called Loneliness, and it's our way to say thanks for your donation today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching people all over the world through this program. People everywhere deal with the devastating effects of loneliness, and it's only gotten worse in recent months. But God created you for a life of fellowship and fruitfulness as you learn to love others just as He loves you. And Dr. Young's booklet will help you embrace that life of community and relationship. So call now to request your copy of Loneliness when you give to keep this program encouraging you and many others around the world. Call 1-800-350-9255. That's 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Resentment.
Imagine if you would, on a distant galaxy way out in outer space, there's a planet that is inhabited by intelligent creatures, but they know nothing about God. And their great passion is to learn something about the nature and character of the Almighty. And so their whole history, their whole culture revolves around the desire to know something about God. And then through advanced intelligence, they hear of, in another galaxy, a little blue shiny planet called Earth. And they are told that on Earth there inhabits human beings who were made in the image of God. Therefore, they plan to travel through space from galaxy to galaxy and to visit the Earth and discover, as they encounter these human beings, what God is really like. And those, they select a group of their citizens. They get on board this vessel that travels many times the speed of light, and they make the journey to Earth, and they land in Memorial Park. And they get out of the vehicle excited to see these inhabitants who are made in the image of the Almighty, and they encounter some joggers who pay no attention to them, and they walk a little further, and there's someone over there under a bush who's inebriated, and he mumbles something, and finally they walk toward town, and they see these two gangs that are facing off with one another with knives, and they didn't know they'd be at risk, and so they run into a bar. And as these extraterrestrial invaders go in the bar, they look around and nobody notices them much, and they look at a big screen television set. And they see the announcement, World News, and they say, look, we're going to understand the inhabitants of this earth by listening to this news. And they hear about terrorism, murder, conflict, disruption of families, immorality, bedlam, revolution, bribery. And it goes on and on and on as they listen. And then they walk out and say, I don't know what we're going to tell our citizens when we get back to our planet. If these human beings represent the image of God, how are we going to report the condition of the earth? And so they get on board and they fly back in staggering wonder and amazement. I've got a question. Was their logic inaccurate? The idea that they could visit the earth and meet human beings, and human beings were made in the veritable image of God, that then they would know something about God, was their logic flawed? I don't think so. Do you? So we have to ask the question, what has gone wrong with the human race? That's the question, isn't it? I'll tell you what's gone wrong. It's found many places in the Bible, but I want to call your attention to one verse in the Bible, and it says that everybody did what was right, but they were wrong. You know that verse? Everybody did what was right, but they were wrong. It's the last verse of the book of Judges. Judges 25, 21 says, there was no king in the land of Israel, so everybody did what was right in their own eyes. In their own eyes. When you and I, we do what's right from our human horizontal perspective, everything ends up wrong. The expression is, I want to do my own thing. And that's where we are. And it leads us to resentment. Envy leads to resentment. It leads to bitterness. Now, I dare say few of us have prayed, oh, Lord, forgive me of resentment. And most of us, if I walked up to you and say, do you have any resentment? You'd say, no, not really. I'm not a resentful person. Let's take a test and see. Would you like to? And this is a very simple test. And as we take the test, keep in your mind the number of these little questions you would check and say, yeah, sometime that's me. Let's look at the test. Have you ever been taken advantage of? Manipulated? Keep the number. Unappreciated? Like whatever you do is not enough. Like all you get from loved ones are a few crumbs now and then. Is that you? People rarely consider your feelings. Nobody understands you. Hardly anything works the way it should. That you give more than you get. Need to check that one. That you work harder than others for the same reward or less. That people hold you to a higher standard. That you sometimes feel like nothing matters anyway. Why should I be the only one who bothers? All I've done for him or her, and look what? That you can't get over how unfair it is that you'd like to get back at those jerks. Now, let's have a little display of mediocre honesty. If you would have checked four or more of those, would you lift your hand up high with mine? This is where resentment comes from, ladies and gentlemen. This is the roots of resentment. And therefore, we carry around resentment. It comes from envy and resentment, and we get bitter. Let me tell you something about envy. That's the precursor of resentment, I think. Envy is nastier than covetousness. Covetousness, I come with empty hands and I say, I covet, I want that which you have. Now that's bad enough. But envy is, I come with empty hands, I don't necessarily want what you have, I just don't want you to have it. And that leads to resentment and that leads to bitterness. And it's all right. Ann Landers said that if you carry resentment around, it's like having someone you despise live free without rent in your head. It's like the story in the Iowa high school, Miss Homecoming Queen got upset at Miss Harvest Queen because she stole her boyfriend. So Miss Homecoming Queen took a belt and strangled Miss Harvest Queen in resentment. So how do you handle resentment? We're going to look at two ways of handling resentment. One way is you handle it with horizontal living. Horizontal livers handle resentment horizontally. That we encounter a problem, we look down and we look around, and that's how we deal with it in the flesh. We say, well, I'm just being practical. I'm just being down to earth with this problem, with this challenge, with this resentment. We're horizontal folks. Those who are vertical folks, resentment comes, they look up and above, and they seek God and His input and His understanding to give us perspective when resentment enters our lives. So the bottom line, are you a horizontal person or a vertical person? And we're going to see how horizontal people handle resentment. Enter Big Jacob, his 12 sons. Remember who Big Jake is? He's one of the patriarchs. He's one of the VIPs of the Old Testament. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob, whose name means cheat, supplanter, con artist, but his name was changed to Israel, remember? And now God has blessed Big Jake. He lives in Canaan. He has these 12 sons. And now I want you to notice how 10 of these sons, let's put Joseph and Benjamin to the side. Let's look how 10 of these sons are horizontal livers. They live a horizontal lifestyle. And look what happens when resentment comes into their life. They see Joseph, who is the favorite of their dad. By the way, Jacob was a terrible father. If you want to read an illustration of how not to be a dad, just study Jake. He had it down to a science. He showed favorites. Joseph was his favorite because he was the son of his favorite wife, who was Rachel. And therefore, he looked after Joseph, spent time with Joseph, didn't make Joseph work as the other brothers did. Gave Joseph one of those new Armani jackets that you get down at the mall that was striped and bright. I mean, Joseph was the apple of his daddy's eye, and Jacob made no mistake about it. He was his favorite boy. And on top of that, Joseph didn't handle it very well. Though Joseph lived a vertical life, had a real sensitivity for God as a teenager, yet he kept sharing with his brothers how one day God was going to put him in a position way above them, and they, of course, resented that. And also, he was the son who always told his daddy the truth about his brothers. It's terrible to be brought up in a family where your brothers and sisters always tell the truth about you, isn't it? I mean, that will mess up any home. That was Joseph. He was naive, he was immature, but he had a sense of God, a sense of God's will about his life. But the other 10 brothers hated Joseph. Now, what kind of guys were these brothers? Let me tell you what happened before they sold Joseph into slavery. Reuben was the oldest son, and he committed incest with one of his dad's concubines in order to usurp the power of his father. That was the oldest boy. Simeon and Levi were guilty of genocide in that they wiped out a whole tribe needlessly, a whole tribe of people. Guilty of mass murder, mass slaughter, genocide. And then Judah slept with his daughter-in-law, Tamar, impregnated her as she passed herself off as a Canaanite prostitute. And all the rest of them joined together and conspired to kill Joseph and get him out of the way, and finally they sold him as a slave to be taken off into Egypt. Now, remember who this family is. This is God's select, elect, blessed, called out family to be his redemptive agent for all the world. If you can find a more messed up, fouled up, low-down, conniving, immoral group of people on this earth, please tell me where they are, then this patriarchal covenant family that God had uniquely blessed and called to be his family through which the Messiah would be born. Hello. I know this Bible is true for a lot of reasons, but one reason is there is nobody here in which God pulls any punches. He tells everything exactly like it is. Have you noticed that? What in the world is going to happen? What happened to these people? The truth is they forgot that God was real. So they were flat earth folks. They're here and now. Get it while you can. And therefore, is it any wonder that these 10 brothers with that kind of resume, with that kind of dossier, with that kind of background, would say, hey, it's no big deal. Just take Joe and kill him. Get him out of here. We're tired of his prudish atmosphere, his telling on us and his superiority with God. We're tired of all that. Kill him. And they sold him finally as a slave. You see what happened to these boys and their dad? They forgot the reality of God. They got so prosperous because Jacob was a big shot in Canaan. Oh, yeah, he was big in Canaan. So were his boys and their wives and their families. It was a prestigious family. They were the Rockefellers of their day. Oh, yeah. Now, remember something. For every one person that can handle success, there are 10 that can handle failure or mediocrity. Success is tough. They didn't handle it very well. They forgot him. And even when Joseph was sold as a slave and they reported with that coat, you know, that multicolored Armani jacket that his dad had given him and had blood on it. His father assumed that he'd been killed by an animal. Even they reported that, Jacob didn't say a thing about God. God's name is not mentioned in that moment. You believe that? How far you can get away? Now, we see how horizontal living, let's see how vertical living operates. These were horizontal folks. Joseph was a vertical guy. Do you see the difference? First of all, God was real to Joseph in the displacements of life. He was prestigious son, wealthy family, man, top of the ladder. His brothers put him in the pit. He sold as a slave, taken off into a foreign country, different language, different culture. He's a nobody, he's a nothing, he's a slave. But to Joseph, God was real in the displacements of life. He was still a vertical guy. He still looked up to God. Now, all of us know displacements. We want to be here, but we're there. We want to live there, but we're living here. We wanted this relationship, we got that relationship. We want this vocation, we got that vocation. But in all of it with Joseph, God was real. That's the genius of those who live vertically, different from those who live horizontally. God was real in displacements of life. Then God is real in the temptations of life. Joseph was bought by Potiphar, who was the commander-in-chief of the army of Pharaoh. Hey, big shot there. And he had a wife, and you can be sure his wife was Miss Egypt. That much money, that much position, I mean, he could just attract anybody he wanted to attract. You can believe she had chemistry and beauty, and she was something. And Joseph was honored in Potiphar's house because he was a man of integrity. And the Bible says everything Joseph touched became successful. That happens to people even in a slave posture when God is real. God is real. He became over all of Potiphar's household. And Ms. Potiphar looked at this young, handsome Jewish guy in the prime of life, and she propositioned him. She said, come and sleep with me. His answer tells us everything you need to know about Joe.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. You know that, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Listen, from time to time, someone will say to me, I'm a Christian, but I don't think you have to go to church. You know, I worship God in my own way. I do my own thing. Listen, I don't believe in Lone Ranger Christians. This verse in Hebrews directs us to gather together with believers. I need it. You need it. We have to have it. Now, that sounds like church to me. At church, we motivate one another, love one another, do good deeds for one another, encourage one another, sharpen one another. You get the idea? Being with other believers at church fuels the fire of our walk with the Lord, making it a winning walk.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope the Holy Spirit is moving through today's message to help you in your own winning walk with Christ. And we want to help you even further by sending you Dr. Young's booklet, Loneliness. You were created to enjoy a life of fellowship and fruitfulness, but so many people today feel trapped in an isolated existence. Discover how you can break free and step into the life of a loving community God wants for you with this helpful resource from Dr. Young. Loneliness is our special way to say thanks for your gift today to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy of Loneliness. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for listening today to The Winning Walk. Join us again tomorrow to hear more proven truth from Dr. Young that you can live free from resentment.